Thanks for joining us today on the Power Walk Ministries broadcast with Dr. Paul Cannings. This week, Pastor Cannings brings us a special Thanksgiving series titled A Matter of the Heart. Before we begin today's message, I want to share with you our need for $275,000 to be able to end the year in the black. Would you prayerfully consider making a generous contribution to Power Walk Ministries? Log on to powerwalkministries.org to make your donation, or call us at 281-260-7402. And as always, your gifts are tax deductible. Now let's join Pastor Cannings as he shares about how a renewed mind transforms the heart. Here he is now with the message, Genuine Faith.
Folks, we're back up here in John chapter 12, and I pray genuinely for all that you've been through. I've been there. I know it's been a painful year. It's been a difficult year. Some of you have lost jobs. Some people have lost family members. I know some folks in Houston here have lost father and mother. My son lost a very good friend, a young couple, on vacation, and lost their lives, both of them, leaving three kids. That's got to be painful, not only for the parents involved, but for the children who don't understand, just a few months old. Where's mom and dad? So it's been a tough year. Where God has brought us to our knees. You know, I've been here with you. I just thank God that the year I had last year, losing loved ones, is not compiled into this year as a pastor seeking to guide a church through a pandemic. It's been tough. We are first line responders, what I call us, for, you know, first responders, but not seen that way. So a lot of pastors, it's been overwhelming. Some pastors have resigned. So it's been a tough year. In the midst of it, God is saying, in all things, give thanks. Is that realistic? Let's examine John chapter 12, folks, as we look through this process and work our way through Mary. I know what you could say. Well, Mary got her brother back. And that's where we stopped yesterday. You have a point. She did. She's have time with her brother. She obviously dearly loved him. She's the one crying and can't be consoled. Christ gives a good model there. He doesn't try to console her by giving all these wonderful words. Martha wanted the theological explanation, and he gave it to her. Mary, she couldn't be consoled. So he just wept with her and carried on with the focus that he had on that day in John chapter 11. Technically, theologically, nothing is different for us. Verse 1, we found that, yes, they were all gathered together. Jesus Christ is there. Lazarus is there. Mary is there. They're having a great old time because his family grew close to Christ. And there's lots of reasons why I could see when you bring them up, why they would have this relationship with Christ in terms of how they treated him. And in Luke chapter 7, we looked at that, the fact that the Pharisees would invite him to their house, but he didn't even sit at the table of honor. They didn't even wash his feet. They didn't even give him somebody to wash his feet. He just, here you go. Glad you're here. Okay, let's go on about our business. He's a good teacher, so we brought him in. Okay, let him sit over here and be a part of this meeting. No respect, even though they know that he is the Christ. John chapter 5, verse 39 and 40, we talked about yesterday. He said, you know who I am. This is not like they didn't know anything. They spent all day studying the Bible. And the Bible says exactly where he would be born, exactly whose descendants are going to be. The resume is already listed before he ever comes. So it's not like they don't have something to go read to see that they spent all day studying. They invited him to his house. We see the contrast between this family and these Pharisees. We see it that take place. Christ rose from the dead, folks. He rose from the dead. And when he rose from the dead, there is a party going on. Our loved ones, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, is with him, enjoying his presence. They, just like Lazarus is with him, so is Jesus Christ is with our loved ones in heaven. How do we approach that? We dealt with the fact that she so respects what is taking place. She doesn't just come. She took it upon her own initiative. She didn't ask Martha if I could take this most expensive nard and bring it to here. No, she didn't do that. She did not go and ask Lazarus, who's most likely the breadwinner, to say, hey, guys, you know, let me, is it okay if I, since I didn't have to use it on you, could I just use it on Christ? No, she just picked it up on our own initiative, a sense of appreciation, express a sense of worship, that I worship you. You are the resurrection. You are the person that you have seen, written about. So, wow, I'm in the presence of the Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. She is excited. She's lifted him high by the way she came. There's several things we talked about yesterday. I want to emphasize from that point. Here's a second thing that we will learn from this heart, is the fact that she emphasized that this person is the Christ, the Son of the living God. One of the things we do in our grief and in our pain and our difficulties is that we bring Christ to where we are rather than keep him to where he is. When we bring Christ to where we are, then yes, he's too small to solve the pain. He's too small to solve the heartache that we go through. It's too hard to deal with the fact that there's hardly any money and there's Christmas coming and trying to figure out how you're going to make all this work. You don't want to go work too many jobs because then you neglect the kids and you going through all these dynamics in your head. And so where is Christ? We just brought him down. We didn't keep him high. He says, if I seek him first, he'll provide for my needs according to his riches and glory. He's telling me that all things work together for the good to them who love him. Faith was a genuine faith when it doesn't fall apart. Because the very nature of faith is a deep conviction with a full assurance that God is able. Whether I'm standing in front of Goliath, whether I'm sitting in a den of lions, whether I don't have food for a long time, it doesn't matter what the situation is. Peter would say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. I ain't backing up on Christ no more. You see, this deep conviction of who Christ is what's guiding Mary's heart. So no matter what's taking place around her, she kept him high. Don't bring Christ down. Keep him high. That way our confidence is driving us. So that ends up being what uplifts us. I know that you rose from the dead. I'm keeping him high. God, I know that you said it's a time to live and a time to die. So God, I know my day is coming. You're keeping him high. It ends up lifting, 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 lifting. Even when the pain is still around, you find yourself finding a little step to walk forward on. I got a little skip in it. This is the next thing you'll find from Mary. She took the initiative. She didn't wait for somebody to say, what are we going to do now? He's back here. Mary's obviously thinking from what Christ is responding, thinking that he's going to die. In other words, Mary's been paying attention. This man is going to go die. He's been saying it so much, the Pharisees, Sadducees, everybody know. That's why they had to pay the soldiers off. It's not like he hid it. He said it. And she's seeing that Jesus Christ, through his work in her heart, is leading us. Because he says it. She's preparing him for his death. So a lot of times in our struggle, in our pain, that's why Mary could bring something that is expensive. That's why she could bring something to present. That's why she could end up staying at his feet. I don't want to sit next to you. Lazarus is sitting next to him. I didn't get that in the story. If Christ came and raised me from the dead after 4 days, I'll be where Mary is. But I was sitting there just having a meal with Christ. That's not enough for me. So Mary's at his feet, at her house, with her food. This is her Jesus. Don't forget the first thing. She kept him high. She kept it worshipful. And Mary took the initiative because everything depends on him. So what does it matter if I give him everything? Oh, folks, this is the heart that rescues us. That's where I'm going today. There's a heart that rescues us. It starts off with that perspective. Don't forget how the Bible shapes us. The Bible shapes us from the head to the heart. When we renew the mind, it transforms our life, which means it impacts the heart. Okay, so if the mind is off, the heart is going to be off. And if the mind is not strong when the heart is going in wrong directions or going in every direction, then the mind will follow rather than the heart has to connect with the mind or find a conflict with the mind. And that conflict with the mind, Paul will talk about it, that flesh and the spirit goes to war in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 on. So that's why when we keep the perspective, it shapes the heart. When the heart is going in different directions, which all of us go through, I testify, I have been there. Lots of questions, not getting it. But I chose in the midst of all of that to say, God, okay, now, that's my heart. I'm human. I went that route. I get it. Just like you in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus, you showed us what it's like to come to difficult situations. You didn't hide it from us that you went up in there and you cried sweats of blood and you don't want the anger of God to be taken on you and beaten to a pulp. You showed us what it's like. So, Jesus, you feel me as a human being. But at the end of the day, the perspective is what holds my heart. That's the focus here. That brings this point, and that is, we must take the initiative because the mind leads us to that initiative. So when we take that initiative because the mind leads us to that initiative, then the feelings come after. But if we wait for the feelings to match how we come before God, we'll walk away. We get tired of virtual worship. We get tired of not being able to go to church and just stay in the bed and look at it later. You know, and then later becomes never. You know, we find a reason to isolate, which Satan loves to destroy us. That's why Peter would talk about that in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 through 11. Don't isolate. Stand, be alert, resist, be sober. Chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verse 30 through 15. So the mind, it has to be alert. It has to come to the situation, taking initiative, and she's coming before him. She didn't ask for a whole lot of stuff. There's no, well, I'm here, Jesus. What you think? No, wasn't anything like that. She just came in a humble way at the feet of Jesus Christ, and she's not looking for anyone to direct her. And we learn from Mary, no one will distract her because Mary sees Jesus as the Christ. He says that she does. She sees him. Here's the next thing we see before we wrap up today that I pray would be a blessing to your heart. Mary was totally focused on what Christ did for her. Not what he's going to do, but what he did for her. He brought the brother she loves back. As David would say, I kill a lion and a bear so I can handle Goliath. A lot of times we are into what we don't have now and what we need in the future. Ah, folks, sometimes it's just best to worship him for what he's done already, because that gives us hope for the future. The heart that matters, the heart that brings us to a great, powerful movement forward that doesn't fix everything right away. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not even trying to infer that. I'm not even implicitly saying to communicate that. I'm simply saying that this heart that just says, God, I thank you. Some days in the tough times of my life, I said, God, thank you for the years you've given me. Thank you for those years being good years. Thank you, God, for the legacy my parents have left me. Thank you that I was able to have them for most of my life. Thank you. I find those things to go on because I want to appreciate what he's done for me. Not just what I hope for in the future, but Lord, I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy because I don't deserve any of it. I have been saved when I was lost and I wasn't seeking you. And you found me and brought me. You give me hope. You gave me life. You gave me the opportunity to trust in someone that could only do good. So God, I thank you for just being you, for all that you are. Many times in my difficult moments, I just focus first on what he's done. Stay focused.
Thank you, Pastor Cannings. What a powerful testimony Mary conveys as she refuses to be distracted by anything or anyone. This current series, A Matter of the Heart, as well as our other books and resources by Pastor Cannings, are available on our website. Just log on to powerwalkministries.org. And keep in mind our financial need, as we shared with you at the start of the broadcast. With your gift of $50 or more, we'll send to you Pastor Canning's newest release, Disciples in the Making, together with the student manual. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 920517, Houston, Texas 77092. Or you can log on to powerwalkministries.org. And as we leave you, keep in mind, Mary's faith was spontaneous and genuine because she knew Jesus. We too can know God as we spend time in his word and through prayer and worship.